passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome back. We are glad to have you on board for the final hour. And what an afternoon this has been. Hope you've been a part of it. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Squirrel is up next.
It's been quite a lively show today, and I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
What's this I hear about? Might be in Oxford Friday?
You hear correctly. We will be in Oxford, usual place, Friday afternoon.
Well, you know what you're liable to see in a grove of trees, don't you? You know what you're liable to spot, aren't you?
A rodent.
A squirrel. But, this week, this Friday, a good day to visit?
It's an excellent day. Hey, listen, when we are there, I expect you to be my guest.
Well, they're looking for me, and tell Miss Laura that I got a little something for her kids, too.
Will be delighted, I don't think we're going to have to see that grumpy coach this year. We were chatting yesterday.
No, and
He told me he can't do media when he's got a big game. He told me I blasted. He said you blasted me a couple weeks ago when I talked the whole week about Alabama, and he said so. I'm taking your advice. I said do whatever you want. I don't care.
Well, I wouldn't be going up there to meet Kiffin, and like I said, he had a weak handshake, and I already had my picture taken with him. That was good enough. But it's hard for me on this Dabo thing. Unlike your number one leg humper a few minutes ago, it's hard for me just to generate any fake outrage over a coach's comments to a caller. But I didn't hear Tyler's call. I will say that. I didn't hear the other side of the coin. But, you know, this would be a one-day story, and hopefully it'll move on. But did I hear your number one leg humper also say that he took a class with Dabo at Alabama?
That's exactly what he said.
What class would you think that might be? Why didn't you follow him up with that question?
Well, I'm done with that subject.
I am too.
I just feel I felt like you know, he was making fun of my age the other day and how I'm barely able to get around, and I decided I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to respond like that.
Well, since you brought up age, it's just weird that Jim's in his late 70s and Dabo's in his early 50s, yet they have a class together. That's weird. And did you see how Jim's baseball contract story came apart last week when he was talking to you? I don't know if you noticed how the AAA offer turned into, he said, a Class D
well,
or something
I,
like that.
Again, Squirrel, you're listening too closely.
I didn't even know they had Class D's for one thing.
I think I played a couple of weeks in Class D.
I could have played Class D. I mean, I started at Oak Ridge in center field. I guess I could have played Class D. But it's
I started on my little league team. I definitely could have made Class D.
No, I was a baseball player too. I love baseball is probably my best sport. But it's just funny how the clown, his stories just keep changing. But, you know, that's what makes me listen to the show. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's try JK next. Hey, JK.
What's going on, Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, man, we at that time of the year again. It's Comedy Central on the Feinbaum Show. Paul, didn't I tell you every year, man, you get these so-called experts on here, and they give these dumb analogies. First one he came up with today is, if you ask Kirby Smart, who would he not want to face? Is Alabama or the Ohio State? Well, of course, they don't want to face teams that's going to give us some competition. You have to win to get into the playoffs.
True.
So whatever Kirby thinks or wants is irrelevant. Just like the dumb thing that Nick did last year when they lost two games before Thanksgiving. You went and begged.
What he said was, you know, we would have been favored in all those games or whatever.
The same old, Paul. He was favored in LSU and the
Tennessee.
What other game did they lose? Tennessee. So, who cares who's favored? Just win the game. But hopefully LSU will take care of that this year. And, Paul, let me comment on the little Dabo situation. I don't think Dabo was wrong nowhere in no fashion. Because if a caller has the guts to call and talk to a head coach, no matter how much he makes, that's not his business. What it is, what's going on is you have an entitled fan that's used to winning. They think they're supposed to win every year after year. That is not going to happen because the playoff, the portal has made the playing field level. I told you that 4 years ago. So these fans that are entitled and think they're supposed to win championships and get in the playoffs year after year, that's not going to happen anymore. So they might as well get used to it. So, and as far as Dabo, I think you need to get that playoff commissioner on there and let us ask him some questions, some direct questions that we all have.
Well, that's never going to happen.
You have to invite him, Paul. It can happen if you invite him.
No, he does his little meet and greet with the Cognoscenti that cover the sport, but he's not coming on here.
Well, Paul, you got the shut off button. If anybody talk crazy, then shut them off. I mean, as fans, we should get that opportunity.
Well,
but you know,
but they don't care about that. They only care about the elite.
Exactly, and I had this argument with one of my coworkers. That 12-team playoff is not designed for the smaller schools to get in. It was designed to keep the top teams into the playoffs, no matter if they have one loss, two losses, and now three losses. It's not designed for the small team. It's designed for the big wigs and the brand names. And you know that, Paul.
You bet. You're 100% right. JK, thank you. David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, it's kind of, I agree with JK that the fans may be getting entitled at Clemson. And didn't that happen with Coach Steve Spurrier, that he realized, I don't think I could ever meet expectations, and these fans think we're going to win the championship every year? And my point is, do you think Dabo's going to, at this age, going, you know, I'm going to take a break, just like Coach Spurrier stepped down?
It sounds like he needs a break. You're right. Spurrier left Florida. His team won the Orange Bowl and finished number three in the country, and it was a colossal failure because they didn't win the national championship. And Dabo, this will now be, what, three consecutive years, 20, 21, 22, actually four straight years that – I'll have to double-check – that Clemson has been out of the playoffs, and that's considered a failure at Clemson.
Exactly. And I mean, he's talking to Tyler, but I'm thinking he's talking to some multimillionaire – people that have been breathing down his neck. So I don't think Tyler was the audience.
No, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right about that. Well, I take it back. Clemson, they went to the playoffs six straight years, 15 through 20. So they missed in 21, 22, and they'll miss in 23. And it's like Alabama missing. When Alabama doesn't make the playoffs, it's a failure. And I think the pressure ultimately gets to you.
I agree. Well, if you would relate to Alabama, if Nick Saban would have gotten that question, I've seen him get or heard his replies to be along the lines of, he would use the play, not use the players, but he'd compliment the players.
Right. I think where Dabo was petty, how many times did he say in that diatribe, I don't know how old you are and I don't care. I mean, that is a schoolyard argument. That's not what an intelligent person. By the way, how many times have you ever heard a coach brag about how many degrees he has?
Never. Never. I appreciate your time. Yeah. I know you got people
that's okay,
online.
I mean, it was fascinating. Thank you. It was fascinating. I mean, there were so many things about that that, you know, he talked about how he's been married 30 years and how he's got kids and how he's successful. That is expected. You're supposed to be good. You're supposed to be elite. And I understand if you go home and you want to vent to your wife and family. We've all done that. We all have. But it's just when you're the face of a program, one that's successful and that well thought of, it's a really bad, bad look. I-Man is up next.
Dabo, Dabo, Dabo. I mean, did you say Dabo has missed the playoff 4 years running this year?
This will be his third straight year.
Oh, this third straight year. Yeah. Well, I mean, when he leaves Clemson and goes to his next school, Alabama, they'll be 3 years out too, so it would just be a lateral move.
Well, first of all, Alabama's not missing the playoffs, and Nick Saban would have never done what Dabo did.
To hell he wouldn't. He's done it. He does it to reporters and everybody he can vent at and rant at. He does it to the we see the words he say. He vents all the time. The little fella is a little hothead. In any other job in this world, he would have been fired on the spot. But at the University of Alabama, guess what? That's totally acceptable. That's just Nick coaching him up. That's just Nick being Nick.
Miss Terry told him to do it.
When Dabo gets there, things are going to change. Things are going to change because they're going to be really big, really big. And they'll miss the playoffs again. And you just got to love it. And you're talking about the face of the program. You got that one guy that comes on here that keeps dragging that dead boy around. I was on death row. God bless me. God bless me. Look at me now. I got real money. I won a bet. And by the way, you know I was on death row. I mean, when's he going to quit dragging that dead kid around so he can have a proper introduction? Got real quiet. Dabo, T-shirts, get your T-shirts. You know I was on death row. Have a good day.
Only on this show. We'll take a short break. We're back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Final 45 minutes, and let's check in with Elliot in Ohio.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I listened to the Dabo comments twice today, and I really thought about it. And I went back and I replayed Nick Saban's rant on the fans. And here's what I came up with. Nick Saban is amazing because Nick Saban turned a rant on the fans into a tribute to his players. A very heartfelt tribute to his players. Whereas Dabo, anytime I send an email out at work and I have I all through it, I did this or I did that, my boss makes me edit and change it. So Dabo made it all about Dabo instead of making it about the team and what they're going to do to turn things around. So I think he was trying to channel Nick Saban. I honestly think that with all the RS in there. But I was pretty amazed with how he went off on that fan.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was no message. And one thing about Nick Saban, he always has a message to whatever madness he may be spouting out. It's usually about his players. It's usually trying to affect change. Dabo just sounded like a spoiled brat who had lost his his lunch money or something. It was really sad. But pretty much everything I've seen from Dabo the last couple of years has been sad. Let's check in with Terry next in Georgia. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Paul. How you doing tonight?
We are doing great.
I haven't talked with you in a while. I'm an Ole Miss fan. It's been several weeks since I called you. I will look you up in the Grove because I hear you're coming over this weekend, right?
For the yes, game. Can't wait.
Yeah, it should. Weather should be beautiful. Should have a packed house. Just real quickly about the Rebels, I want your take. You know, on the game. I guess I'm a little bit surprised. First of all, it's only a 5-point spread. But, you know, looking back at the season, we really haven't put the running attack and the passing attack together in one game. Seems like when Dart has been on, like against LSU, we threw the ball all over the place. But there's been recent games where the running attack, like last week with Judkins and Evans, kind of took over, and also against Auburn the last two games. So I hope this week against A&M, as we get ready for Georgia, we can you know, complement the offense with good running and passing. But how do you see that A&M game matching up this weekend, Paul?
Yeah, I think, and frankly, I think the line has come down. There's a lot of reason to be nervous for this reason. A&M has a really elite defensive line. You've heard that already.
Right.
I think their weak link is the quarterback, and I realize that everybody tried to act like it was no big deal, but it is a big deal. I mean, he has limitations. Connor Wegman was a much better quarterback from my mind, and I think that it's still something. They're still good enough, and there's a there's a lot of urgency from A&M. I mean, their season is on the line right now. They have Ole Miss and LSU on the road, and if this game goes down, any hope of a good season has been shattered. And I think that's a big deal. Where Ole Miss, I don't believe for a second Ole Miss is looking ahead to Georgia. But I just feel like they're kind of caught right now, and they played well. They survived really the LSU game, and they frankly blew the Alabama game. I frankly was incredibly disappointed. Well, and I think
Paul,
go ahead.
Paul, somebody asked me today a question I'm sure a lot of Ole Miss fans have heard. Are you going to blow the end of the season like you did last year? And I said, no. We're going to finish strong, and there's two words. Pete Golding is the difference. You know, and our defense has gotten better every week, and I really give credit to Pete Golding because he's just a tremendous defensive coordinator. He's improved that side of the line. He rotates his defensive linemen. That's the reason I think we the players got tired last year. We just didn't have enough bodies over on the defensive line. Golding did a good job in the portal, and he's coached them up. And, you know, we've played pretty good defense the last several weeks. Would you agree?
I would agree. I think that's a really interesting point. And a lot of people, including myself, question Lane when he hired Golden. But Golding was really a product of just expectations at Alabama. And I think he's found himself a good spot. Thank you very much for the call. Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, it's been a while since I talked to you, but I got about three things. I want to go with we right quick. The first is who does J.K. pull for?
Miami.
You know what's strange, Paul? They could expand the thing to 24 teams, and Miami still won't make it.
And then, yeah, you're right.
And I was talking about the other day you had Griff on the show, and I think it was when they announced it. Oklahoma and Texas was going to join the league, and you had him on, and he was talking about, he was talking to the commissioner, and he said the commissioner's one of those people that you can talk to him just a minute or two and you realize that they're smarter than you.
Right.
I mean, he's had that conversation with a lot of people, hadn't he?
Yeah. It gets fairly – it's happened to me. It gets fairly discouraging when everybody you talk to is smarter than you. It does tend to wear you out, wear you down.
All right, I'll save the best for last. Why is Jim so mad at Dabo?
Well, I think he said they were in class together, so maybe Dabo was a valedictorian.
He's talking about the way that he talked to the caller that called in. Jim does that every day, belittling people, cutting people down. And he's talking about being a Christian. And Christian, I think Jim does more harm for Christian values and stuff that we'll be talking about. I think he does more harm to some stuff that he says than does. But I got a verse for him, and I want him to think about if he's listening. And if he's not, you pass it on to him. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let a stranger's mouth praise thee, not thine own mouth, or let a stranger praise thee, not thine own lips." Jim, let's take that to heart.
Indeed. Hey, thank you so much for sharing that.
Paul, you have a good day.
You bet. Great to hear from you. And let's check in with John, who is up next. Hey, John. Well, John did not answer, so I will try Kyle in Miami. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Paul, I really was interested in getting your take on Mario Cristobal's second season with Miami. I know the whole devastating loss and mistake against Georgia Tech, but as a Canes fan, if you would have told me at the end of last year when we finished 5-7 that we'd be 6-2 now, I would think that was great. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah,
in the
I agree. I think he's made up for it. It was incredible to watch. But the A&M game was big. They've won a couple of tight games, so I think the program's curve is the key. And I'm a big fan of his. He's a phenomenal recruiter. The most important thing he did from that debacle was he just kept moving forward, and he didn't let that game cost him another game. And by the way, Georgia Tech has beaten a couple of teams this year. They're not as bad as I thought. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with AJ, who is up next.
Happy Halloween, Brother Feinbaum.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to touch base with you. I got an issue with a guy that calls about every other 12 seconds. His name is the Serpent. The Serpent straight out of Satan's cabinet. I'm going to tell you something, Jim. You're going to call up here, Jim, and you're going to question Dabo Swinney's faith and his beliefs and his Christianity, and you're going to – but all because of what, Jim? Because the man simply lost his temper a little bit, and he said some things that he probably shouldn't have said. Well, hell, Jim, you do that every other breath. So let me explain something to you, Paul. You know what Jim deserves, in my opinion, Paul?
What's
he
that?
Deserves to be locked up in a room with a steady flow of carbon monoxide – because he don't even deserve oxygen. Jim, you ain't nothing but the devil himself reincarnate. Incarnate whatever your uneducated, ignorant ass wants to think of or say. But you're the dumbest idiot, and you're the biggest ass that I've ever heard in my entire life. You're the worst person that's ever even breathed on this planet. War damn eagle.
Wow. That's a lot to say there, is it not? Anyway, why don't we take a break? We still have a line or two available if you want to crack in on this circus tonight at 855-242-7285. Been a busy show with some great guests, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let's grab a few more calls in here, and Arthur is up next. Hello, Arthur.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Just a little observation here. I've noticed something since AJ's been calling. He really tries his best to be like legend. I got a little scenario here for you. Just bear with me. AJ's what you get when you order a call from legend from Wish. JK is the guy that brings it to your house. And AC's the guy you got to deal with on the phone when you try to get your money back.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. That was fantastic. How about Mark up next in Louisiana? Hello, Mark.
Hello?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. I'm in Los Angeles. Hey, Paul, I just wanted to comment on the Dabo thing. First off, I listened to the full thing.
Right.
I thought the caller was extremely disrespectful. He's quoting Proverbs, and then at the same point, he's demeaning an accomplished coach on his lack of performance for this year. The two things were not congruent. One of the nice things about being a Mizzou Tiger fan is I think we see things over time in proper perspective. Sports are not life. They're a collective rallying point and entertainment. I cannot imagine, except for maybe Alabama, a coach that's provided a fan base with more thrills over 10 or 11 years. And I don't think he needs to be demeaned on a public stage for trying his best and falling a little bit short this particular year as opposed to past years. I've never wanted a Missouri coach fired. If we lose a tough game, I'll send a card to them letting them know how much I appreciate the great effort they and the team put on our behalf and how grateful I am for their efforts. And I think what I see in some of the Southern fan bases are fans who are taking this all a little bit too seriously. And a note to Georgia and Alabama fans, I really hope Mississippi State or Vanderbilt wins an SEC football title one year because they deserve it, as does Mizzou. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you giving us a ring. Let's check in next with Mark. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Listen, we've spent I don't know how much time putting, you know, what coaches say under a microscope. We break it down. How long does – I guess Mario Cristobal is still living with his end-of-the-game play earlier this year. But I'm curious about why we as fans and really why sports journalists don't demand more accountability from college football officiating. You know, just in the SEC, our commissioner is everywhere. He's on every talk show, every TV channel when there's happy talk. But why don't we demand more transparency about, you know, officials? They're all coaches, officials, players, they're all humans. They make mistakes, but doesn't the league demand that coaches have so much press availability every week where they can be asked about their stupid decisions? Why can't the coordinator of officials be required to have a press conference every week and admit the calls they got right, own the calls they got wrong, and just be more transparent? That's a huge factor of the game that just goes completely under the radar. And I'm really interested that sports journalism isn't more interested and isn't demanding more transparency. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't understand the nuances of officiating. I do feel like I have a moderately decent handle on sports journalism. And on that front, and I'll include myself because I do have a forum, there's very little of it. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But the biggest issue is that the medium is shrinking and the focus is on making money and surviving as opposed to pursuing the truth.
Well, and Paul, I just look, the game has changed, and it just seems to me that the game, in my opinion, is getting better and better and faster, but officiating isn't. It's just kind of a humorous thing is when you're in a stadium and you see the guys on the chain gang. They're mostly older. Many of them are obviously not in good shape. And now that they don't stop the clock on first downs, I mean, the chains are hardly ever set before the next play is
being snapped. That's a really good point. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and I don't really have a what I would call a great answer for you. I know it's a major degree of consternation to every conference office in dealing with officiating, and rarely do we every once in a while they'll admit they were wrong about something, but not very often.
It's a lot of happy talk, and I don't know. I mean, if coaches have to stand and own the boneheaded decisions they make, I don't know why the coordinator officials can't come out on a Monday or a Tuesday morning and say, you know what, we blew it in the Alabama game. It was really third down when they kicked the field goal or whatever it was that happened in that Alabama-Ole Miss game.
No, you're right, and this was a non-call, but I think it was the Tennessee game. It could have been either the Tennessee or the A&M game when the umpire got in the way of the receiver, and it was a critical third down conversion that one of those two didn't get, and it may have played a few, but that I'm really agreeing with what I've offered it in the past because of the forum that we have, and nobody has taken me up on it, and I think it's worth pursuing. I once joked with the commissioner about having a weekly show with the head of officiating, and I didn't get a very positive response.
Well, I think what they'd probably say is, you know, fans are so crazy now that and they have a hard time getting officials, and they might be worried about, you know, people showing up at referees' homes in the suburbs on Monday morning. You know what I mean?
Well, I think so, there probably is something to that, and it goes for every industry now. But yeah, I mean, if you're a fan, and you know, especially if you bet money on the game and the officials blew the call, you have to have some a level. And I know some of these men. I run into them at the airport, and I'm not blanketly defending them. You to be an official on the field, you have to pass a fairly rigorous procedure. Now, what you said about the chain gang is probably true. Those are probably former officials who have reached a certain age, but I appreciate your candor, because frankly I don't hear many people demanding that kind of thing anymore.
But you know, And I'll leave it with this. The best official in the world is going to blow it every now and then.
Absolutely.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
We all aim for perfection. We can't demand it. But when there's some obvious, egregious, blown, bad officiating, it would be so refreshing if McDade or whoever the coordinator is would just have a weekly press conference and say, you know what, we blew that one. We'll get better next time. Or that one that we thought we blew, we actually didn't. It was adjudicated correctly. That kind of transparency.
Well, there's one more thing. There are a couple of things that play into official. And I talked to an official once who was a very good friend of mine who was like one of the top officials. And he was calling the Rose Bowl. And I told him, I said, I think he blew that call. I mean, I was just kind of said that jokingly. He said, no, he didn't. And then what he did was he went back and watched the broadcast. And as you watch it, you're influenced by what the broadcaster says. And I know that some people may be smart enough to see through it, but he later said you were right in real time and with listening to the audio. Yeah. It did look like a terrible call, but there's a lot of factors that go into it, and I think it's a great idea. I think you have really hit something very good, and I will try to continue my pursuit of getting a real conversation, not just some papered version of the truth.
Trust us, we got it. There's accountability. Next subject. That's all you've heard so far. So I hope you have success in that, Paul. Great show. Thank you, bud.
Mark, thank you very much. I do appreciate you asking for that. We'll take a break. A few more minutes to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.